In the Northeast GOP war, Trump serves up a stunning knockdown to Ted Cruz, who is now technically and mathematically eliminated in Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Delaware, Maryland. The Donald scored over 100 delegates, 105, I believe, while Kasich got 5, leaving Teddy Boy 1. Mr. Kasich, your Frank Burns type from MASH, smug personality, is starting to grate on America. And colluding Ted, how did you plan on challenging Hillary anywhere if you only come in second once in these 5 races and only break 20% one time? Did God call you to lose spectacularly? Go home, Ted. Everyone is sick of your weird Pee Wee Herman smile anyway. Now, with 950 delegates, Trump needs less than 300 more to cinch the nomination. With him averaging almost 60% per contest and now topping national polls with over 50% support and in a virtual tie with Hildebeest, Donald is exactly where he needs to be. And it's time for Cruz and his strangely savage Christian naked ambition to step off the stage while the fake nice Kasich free falls into oblivion as well. While Hillary torments Bernie burnout, Private Sanders, perhaps motivated by the nonsensical and quixotic campaigns of both Lion Ted and 1-for-38 Kasich, claims he will not drop out despite already being mathematically eliminated. Too bad Sanders did not take the attack to Hillary's flaws more seriously when it might have mattered. In the background of this temporary political battle, we see the earth along the Ring of Fire continuing to act up in ways unnerving residents, including eruptions and earthquakes on an unparalleled pace. Is the apocalypse nigh? Not sure on this weird Wednesday, but stay tuned, sportsmans. Good morning to you. 608, Kelly O'Connell. And it's a complete knockout performance by Donald Trump. And the upshot is that Ted is not only out, but according to Fred Barnes, he's lost. He is totally lost. And he says that it is delusional for the anti-Trumps to think they can stop him now because Trump won all 5 states by wide margins. And so anyway, Teddy Boy is lost, and I think that he's got to come to grips with the idea that he felt like he was called, and maybe he was called, who knows? But sometimes God calls people to do things, and they don't work out exactly the way that people thought. But here's a little bit of, I don't know if you remember, you got to be old enough to remember Frank Burns from MASH, but he was the hated character on MASH, the show about the war in Korea where they're all doctors. But here's a little bit of Frank Burns.
And what I don't understand is, why do people take an instant dislike to me?
It saves time, Frank.
Well, we got along fine for the first 2 weeks.
Exactly, Frank. That time was absolutely wasted.
All right, so when you're talking about John Kasich, if you go to the people that know him, and it doesn't really matter because he's not going to be the president, but he puts on a face and puts out this idea, I'm anti-Trump, people like me, people hate Donald Trump, but they like me. And the fact of the matter is that John Kasich is not a very nice person, according to those people who have to deal with him every day. And he pulled over a cop pulled over him. And gave him a ticket. And then in his own state, John Kasich got up and repeatedly trashed this guy. He was just a working cop. You know, he's just a highway patrol or whatever. And they got the videotape from that and showed that the cop was completely professional and that Kasich was an idiot. So, but anyway, just in case you're wondering whether Kasich is as nice as he claims to be. All right. So here is Gingrich, the Trump revolution, what it represents.
It's an alliance that placed between Kasich and Cruz. It didn't get a lot of good favorable reaction from what I saw on social media. But on top of that, there were a lot of reports tonight that Ted Cruz may, in fact, even announce a vice presidential candidate as a means of bringing energy to his campaign. You're shaking your head before I finish.
Well,
look,
we're
friends, so you can do that. That's fine.
Look, there are two parts to this. The first is you have two guys who are the weaker of the three candidates bringing weakness to each other, because in a year when people are angry about politics and they're angry about deal making, to be openly publicly trying to make a deal like this personifies everything people are already mad about. Second, and I think Trump is exactly right about this.
These are the hands that build the machines, the machines that sort, stack, and seal. These are the hands that keep private information private. These are the hands of Pitney Bowes, the craftsman of commerce. These are the hands that dig for opportunity, identify patterns, and uncover risk. Which is these are the hands of Pitney Bowes.
You've got a time when people are anti-incumbent and anti-system, and you're trying to bring two guys in from the system. All right, so here's a little more Gingrich.
Doesn't make any sense at all to me, because it makes it look like the person's out of touch with reality. I mean, aren't they aware of the fact that they're not winning?
Let me go through this last question, and I promise I'll let you go home and go to sleep. I know you had a long trip back from Europe. So as of tonight, Trump has won 27 state or territory of those contests. He's won 27. Cruz has won 11. Rubio's won 3. Kasich has won 1. If he falls short, 50 delegates, let's just say, will they be able to take it away from him at that convention?
No.
And what would be the reaction if they did?
Look, you would have a nationwide movement bringing pressure to bear on Cleveland. Now, the other side can't offer this. I mean, the other side, remember, right now is characterized by stop Trump. They're not characterized by positives. They're not characterized by here's the better future. They're stop Trump. But Trump represents a very profound rebellion against the current political establishment. And those millions of people, the people who are showing up at all of these big rallies, those millions of people are going to do whatever it takes. I mean, you could have an amazing number of people coming to Cleveland if they thought this was going to get stolen.
And the upshot is that without having a clear way forward, and it just goes to show you how lost the GOP is, without having a clear way forward, the GOP still wants to stop Trump. Now, they want to stop Trump because he does not agree with everything that they stand for, but none of these candidates really stand for everything on the GOP line. For example, Ted Cruz is too conservative to fit into the national GOP vision. John Kasich is a little bit more liberal. So you've got this situation where they're trying to kill Trump ultimately to benefit themselves. But how does it benefit you if the thing that you are, you know, carrying water for, you know, the movement you're involved in, is involved in a popularity contest, a Democratic election or whatever, and you try to kill your own person and then say, well, the other party, the head of the other party, will be better than our own person? First of all, you don't know that. That's just a claim. That's a claim that's either true or false. And in this case, it's certainly false. But what kind of an organization purposefully and repeatedly puts up candidates at the top rung who they know are either weak or incapable of winning? So if they take out Trump, somebody else will take his place, the Paul Ryans or whatever. He comes in and loses by definition, because then the party is shattered, everybody is disorganized, and there's a lot of anger out there. The GOP's happy. They get their own guy. They get to keep their game running. But how has it benefited America? Why doesn't the GOP take responsibility for Barack Obama, for all of the disasters? And by the way, if you're reading on ACA, the Affordable Health Care Act, it is continuing to fall apart. They've lost their number one healthcare provider now. And they say in 2017, the way the affordable health care was designed was for certain elements of it to come in later, in years later, so that it wouldn't harm the politicians that were in office that were voting for it at that time. Or there would be enough disconnection between the time periods. And so now you've got a tremendous spike in costs coming up. You've got a spike in the tax cost. It's going to be 2.5% of income if you don't have health care coming up. It's a total disaster. Why doesn't the GOP take responsibility for that? Because the GOP ran bad candidates. Since the GOP brags about the fact that it's not the Democrat system, it's not the voters who choose the candidates, it's the GOP, then please take responsibility for McCain, who was a terrible candidate, and for Mitt Romney, who is a terrible candidate. For those guys losing, why don't you take responsibility before we step into a third term of Obama, which is what Hillary said she will be. Why doesn't the GOP stand up for some cheers? You know, why doesn't for a round of applause for the disaster they've delivered America up to this point? There's supposed to be an opposition party. And when you run two candidates that are moderates, and the base doesn't come out, and they get beat by someone who's brand new in the game. I mean, it's a disaster. It's sad. The GOP is lost. The problem with America is not the Democratic Party. The problem is the GOP. Now, having said that, I have a dedication to the new program in Donna County for workers, and this could be tried at the sheriff's office, of course. We're down some units at the sheriff's office, as everybody knows. Got a new program to bring in vehicles without any cost. So if you know what I mean, can Brown do for you? Kelly O'Connell, 618 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, and we'll be right back. All right, so it was a massive win in these five states, the Northeast states, for Ted Cruz, or pardon me, for Donald Trump. And so, you know, I mean, he got 100 votes, or 100 delegates, 105 delegates. There are not more states where Donald Cruz, or Ted, Lion Ted, call him that, and easier to keep track of, but there's less opportunities to go and steal votes from other states now. So, I mean, it's kind of a mathematical elimination point at this time. They say that Ted, who may have thought that God was going to deliver him the win at this point, I don't know. I mean, that appears to be the message that's been put out there by his family, and that he was chosen, you know. So, I mean, I'm not certainly not opposed to that idea, you know, but at the same time, I guess the proof would be in the pudding, you know. So where is, if Ted Cruz and Donna, I know Donna doesn't listen to this show anymore because I didn't bow down to her when she was talking, but where Donna, if you were listening, where is the evidence that Ted Cruz was called by God to run, you know? Or maybe he was called to run and lose, or maybe it was a test of America instead of, you know. So, but I just, you know, I just kind of wonder where Cruz thinks that this thing is going to go. They want a contested election. It's still possible for Trump to get the nomination directly. So anyway, here's a little clip from Trump's speech.
When are you going to pivot out of the statements? They said, don't worry about it. In other words, they're politicians. They can do it. But I just want to thank everybody. This is a far bigger win than we even expected, all five. And that's something that's really... And not only is it all five, it's all five, whether it's 60 or just about 60. And even I see one up there at 66 and 67. And you have to remember, and I say this all the time to the pundits, I love the pundits, but I say it all the time, there are three people. When you crack 60, and as we did last week with our great city and our great state of New York, when you crack 60 with three people, that's very hard to do. In fact, I think Chris can tell you, if you crack 60 with two people, that's called a massive landslide. But we have three. And, you know, some strange things have happened. Last night it was very strange when I watched this group get together. That was a strange moment. I got a call at 11 o'clock and we talked. And I said, I think that's a good thing because it shows weakness. It shows ineffectiveness. It shows failing campaign. Really, it's collusion. In business, they put you in jail for collusion. In politics, you're allowed to get away with it. But it really is. I thought it was a very weak signal. And the Republican Party needs something much different than that. We'll be going to... Thank you. We'll be going to Indiana. I'll be leaving tomorrow afternoon for just a long stay. And it's a great state. I have many, many friends there. And I have a coach, Bobby Knight, the great Bobby Knight, and we're going to be spending a lot of time with Bobby. And Bobby's an amazing guy. He's tough, he's sharp, he's smart, and he wins. He knows how to win, and the people of Indiana love him, and Bobby's in.
He also knows how to throw chairs, but that's another issue. So, the race is not over in the GOP, but nobody else can get there but Trump. And Ted Cruz is was faulted by a lot of people by saying, why did you, if you've spent your whole career being an outsider and run your campaign as an outsider and present yourself as being an antidote to being an opposite of the party, of the political process, of the Senate and everything, then why do you get together with it? Why do you begin to represent the consensus, I think that it looked bad. It made Cruz look like he would do anything. And I'm sure that there's a lot of things that Ted wouldn't do, but, You know, Ted does seem to stretch the envelope a little bit. So, all right. So let's the race for the Democrats is pretty much finished. Bernie Sanders would have to get every single delegate that's left, and plus a handful. So he'd have to get every delegate, plus he'd have to get some switchovers. So there's no way he's going to win. But he says he's going to stay in the race, whatever that means. And the same thing for these guys that are on the Republican side. I don't know why Kasich or Ted Cruz think that if there's a contested election, listen to this, if there's a contested election amongst the voters, I mean, if it went up to a vote, it's already gone up to a vote, and Donald Trump is the winner. I mean, this idea that Ted Cruz represents the real heart of the GOP, and if the people could really give voice to their positions, that they would vote for him. That's already failed. Donald Trump is about to beat the number of total votes that was put out by Romney last time. So he's going to set a new record there. There's something like 9 or 10 million new voters, more voters than there was last time. So, you know, you can start doing the math in your mind. There's a lot of people out there that support Ted Cruz. Pardon me, I keep saying that. I'm haunted by Ted Cruz and his ugly porn star alter gender. Some lady that looks exactly like Ted Cruz, they found her. Not only did they find her, they talked her into doing porn, which these days probably isn't that hard. So anyway, Trump is the vehicle that you ride to the presidency on the GOP, or not. You can reject him. You can claim that he's not pure enough. You can pull a Donna and claim that Cruz is from God and everybody else is not. But the fact of the matter is, he's the guy that would take you there. And where this idea that Hillary Clinton would be a better leader than him, where has she ever shown that in her life? Anyway, 523-1450 to call in and on AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE, and we'll be right back. 6:30 on the button, Kelly O'Connell Show. The county manager might take your car. Be careful. She'll only keep it for a year, though. All right, so we've got this story that's been mentioned about the sheriff disagrees with study that says department is not understaffed, and it is my understanding that Kiki is going to try to call in this morning and talk about this. But here is here's a little bit from Channel 7 on that. That independent study, or so-called independent study. Who knows how independent it was. But, you know, I mean, maybe the guy that was doing the study was told, if you don't do a good job on this, you may be hitchhiking back to El Paso or Albuquerque. You know what I mean? Your car might be confiscated. Here we go.
Tension between Duane and the county and its sheriff's office.
The county funded a study that concluded the department is not understaffed. But those findings have deputies firing back. ABC 7's Jamie Warren is live from our New Mexico Mobile Newsroom. Jamie.
Stella, severely understaffed, even forced to cut services. That's the reality the Sheriff's Department tells us they're forced to deal with every day. But a private company contracted by the county finds they just need to coordinate things differently.
Basically, we fight the evil you pretend doesn't exist.
The evil we pretend doesn't exist.
That's golden earring Billy Garrett right there. He's throwing back a rhetorical answer. This is during a county commission meeting.
I'm sorry, that's offensive to me. You have no basis upon which to criticize me and allege that I am pretending anything.
Things got heated as Jeff.
That's a statement, not a poll.
Deputies and residents lined up to give input after the results of a $47,000 staffing study were revealed. It suggests reevaluating the way deputies respond to 911 calls because many hang-ups are false alarms. And also found if deputies switch from 10 to 12-hour workdays, their shifts will overlap and more deputies will be available during peak hours.
When that officer is at 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 hours, and then you expect them to come to the next shift that night.
That's Ken Roberts, who was just on the show.
Are you in their best interest?
The sheriff's office told commissioners the staffing numbers in the study don't add up. They say if the sheriff's office has to follow through with the recommendations, the department will suffer.
I believe this was orchestrated from the very beginning. They hired a contractor, paid him $47,000, and you saw that. Everything was basically, most of it was against the sheriff's department.
This wasn't something, some witch hunt where we put this together just to be able to do a hatchet job.
This is downtown Julia Brown. She gets around in somebody else's ride.
On the sheriff.
And some of the results from this study could possibly be used when deciding next year's budget. Now, it should be noted that no one from the sheriff's department participated in this survey. Sheriff Vigil said while he was asked to, he said that he did not believe that the company contracted was neutral. Reporting live in Las Cruces with our New Mexico Mobile Newsroom, Jamie Warren, ABC 7.
ABC 7's round.
OMG. What in the world is $47,000 to find out that the sheriff is crying alligator tears about the staffing problem? That's just, you know, I don't know about that. But, all right, so here's a little bit more, and I believe our own enlightened, if I'm not mistaken, Hancock is going to be interviewed here, but this is off of KRWG.
Completed by the independent firm Alexander Weiss Consulting, found that the sheriff's department is adequately staffed and made various recommendations, including creating a more efficient work schedule and changing the policy in regards to answering false alarms and 911 hangups. Dr. Alexander Weiss says the study only looked at patrol staffing and used data from the Mesilla Valley Regional Dispatch Authority and the county. Weiss says he had limited access to information because the sheriff declined to participate.
I didn't have access to the sheriff's department. And in many communities, there's some friction between folks who pay the bills, for example.
This is Dr. Alexander Weiss. He might have put the sheriff's department in a vice when he got done with this so-called study. You're talking about the friction between the big branches of government here.
And some operating agency, because they have different roles, right? But generally, they'll conclude, they'll collaborate and say, well, we're going to bring someone in to help us answer these questions. And then at the end, you get the answers.
Weiss says this is the first time the law enforcement agency he was studying declined to participate. County Commissioner Wayne Hancock says it's important to know the needs of the county going into budget.
Wayne Hancock is he's the head of the county commission. Don't forget that. A very august individual, highly, highly intelligent, highly educated. I believe he may even have a GED.
My understanding of the study was that we have adequate staffing. But the sheriff had come in here and said we need 220 deputies. Well, now we know that that's, even with this limited amount of data, that that's not accurate.
Well, Mr. Hancock, the population has doubled since 2007. Don't be so hasty.
And that's what we need. If we're going to make budgeting decisions and we're going to talk about budgets, we need to have facts to deal with.
Doniana County Sheriff.
Wayne Hancock is suddenly interested in facts. This is a promising development.
Enrique Kiki-Vigil says the information in the report is inaccurate and the sheriff's department is understaffed. Vigil says he declined to participate in the study because he felt county management purposely hired a firm that frequently recommends cutting law enforcement staff.
I know there have been questions about this. The consultant, did he first initially contact the sheriff on this? Yes, he did. I didn't participate in this because we did some research on Mr. Weiss, the consultant, and we knew what he had done before to other municipalities. My staff were at liberty to participate in the study. We could have reached out to them, but he didn't.
Vigil says the county commission shouldn't be telling him how to manage his department. County Commissioner Ben Rawson says he's concerned about the possibility of inaccuracies in the study.
I think it was a waste of county funds. I'm disappointed in the way the individual was selected to do the study. I don't think that the goal was to help Doniana County be better or help the sheriff's department be better. I think the goal was very one-sided, and it's the continued escalation that we've seen for 2 years between the chairman and the sheriff.
Ben Rawson, you can put some stock in what he says. He runs an actual business.
Sheriff Vigil says he will look at the recommendations in the study, but doesn't know which, if any of them, he will implement. For KRWG, I'm Samantha Sonner.
Amazing. Amazing stuff there. Okay, so let's take a little break here. But Golden Earring and Wayne Hancock have struck back a new blow. It only costs $47,000. But it is devastating, apparently on paper anyway. 6:43, and make sure when you go to the store, you take your car keys with you. Don't leave the windows down. There's a vehicle snatcher out there, but it's an official vehicle snatcher. So anyway, 6:43, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450, KOBE, 523, 1450. We'll be right back. Kiki is supposed to be calling in. It's 6:45. It's Weird Wednesday, and we're waiting for Sheriff Kiki to call in. He has got his opinions about this so-called independent study from the Vice, WEISS, I guess, company. We've got Kiki here. Is this Sheriff Kiki?
Yes. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Thanks for the call. Thanks for being available to call in so early. Could you, we just heard some information about this so-called independent study. What's your opinion? You guys said that you had done some background research on this company. What did you find out?
Yes, this consultant, he was brought in from the very beginning back in sometime in November. And we had done some homework on him, some research on him. And this consultant, he's done some work for various municipalities. And the majority of his municipalities that he's been contracted for, he's pretty much been a hatchet man, meaning that he comes in and tells, you know, either the county manager or the different managers of the cities, hey, this is where we need to do some restructuring. This is what's not being done and everything, you know.
He's a hired gun. He's a hired, yeah. In other words, he's a hired gun, and it is predetermined what his outcome is going to be when he's hired, according to you.
Yes, yes. And so it was already planned ahead of time. So that's why we didn't, I didn't participate in this study. He was more than welcome to reach out to any of my personnel, and he did not. He reached out to two former staff members that are no longer with the Sheriff's Department. And like you saw yesterday, you know, County Commissioner Rawson brought up some good points. You know, he cut and pasted 6 pages, you know.
What could you be more specific? Who cut and pasted 6 pages? This is Weiss?
Yes, sir. This is the consultant. Commissioner Rawson asked him, why did you cut and paste all these pages from these other studies? He was using that for his own, you know, for his own information, consulting information, you know. Basically,
that's crazy.
It was cut and paste from a different journal or something like that.
So, I mean, can we get our 47,000 back or what? I mean, if he's just going to, you know.
Well, Commissioner Rawson did ask the legal department there to look into it. Who owns this report now? You know, when it's cut and paste. So the legal department, the county legal department, is going to look into this. A lot of erroneous information that the consultant provided.
Well, it just sounds like it's information from some other study.
Yes, yes, definitely. And he came out and said that the Sheriff's Department didn't have to really respond to all 911 calls because a lot of these were hangups, you know.
But how would you know? How would you know if somebody calls up 911 and hangs up that they're not in even more trouble than a person who stays on the line?
Yes, definitely. And we brought that up to his attention first of all, by state law, we're required to respond to all 911 calls, even if they're hangups. But he was telling us that we didn't really have to answer to all 911 calls. And so he was totally wrong on that.
Well, that's crazy, but maybe he's never had to make a 911 call. So the consultant said just have your people work 12-hour days and on consecutive shifts?
Yes, 12-hour shifts. And we're talking – when you're working 12-hour shifts, we're talking about fatigue now.
Yeah.
You know, so let's say on the 11th hour, one of our deputy has to respond to some kind of a incident, you know, let's say there's weapons involved there, everything. Well, you know, he's after 11 hours going on to the 12th hour, there is some fatigue on him already. You know, so, you know, I'm going to look at some of the recommendations. Like I told the county commissioners aboard yesterday that, sure, I'm not going to throw all the recommendations out. I'll look at them. I've already reviewed some of them. And I'll tell you, the majority of them are not worth putting into practice.
Well, that's, I mean, this whole thing is so crazy. And I was grateful to Ben Rawson was able to shed some light on this, but it sounds like this vice, the Weiss, was brought in to put the sheriff's department in a vice.
Yes. And, you know, we had a packed room yesterday at the chambers in support of the sheriff's department. And, you know, the question I brought out, too, is why did the manager and these two county commissioners, Billy Garrett and Chairman Wayne Hancock, target the sheriff's department? Why didn't they do a study on the other departments, like the road department, where they're, you know, or also HR, human resources, where all these lawsuits are coming out left and right? Just recently, last week, we had $450,000 settlement.
There's always settlements, but is from what I understand, there was somebody that called in that had said that the the head of the head of the county had borrowed somebody's car for a year. You know, if there's any truth to that.
Oh, I've heard that too. It's all over. It's all over with the county employees. I've heard that too.
Can the sheriff's department intervene and help get the vehicle back to the rightful owner?
Only if the owner comes into the sheriff's department and files a complaint. You know, we can look into it. But I've heard about that. It's going around rampant. So who knows if it is true or not? But you never know.
You never know. So what you'd like people to know about the study that just came out, the Weiss study, is that you've got some doubts about his independence, number one. Number two, he outrageously or shockingly copied and pasted another report and used it on this one. And then the third thing is, even another county commissioner, Ben Rawson, says he's got grave concerns about the independence of Weiss.
Yes. And because basically he was hired to go after the sheriff's department. And look at the timing. This is a time when we're already discussing my budget for next year.
Uh-huh.
The union is also at impasse with the county, the sheriff's union, and also they'll be having hearings on this. So the timing, that is very coincidental.
Very, very coincidental.
Yeah. Like I said, they could have used, why don't they bring a consultant or somebody look into human resources, where all these lawsuits are coming out left and right. It's just Billy Garrett and Wayne Hancock has determined that they're going after the sheriff's department.
Well, anyway, I'm sure that's true. We're running out of time here. Anything else, Sheriff?
No, that's all I have to say. But once again, thank you for what you do.
Absolutely. Hang in there, Sheriff.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Better days ahead, folks. All right. We'll take a little break here. 6:54, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. And just watch those keys, folks. We'll be right back. Well, it's 6:57 out there, and my handheld device tells me it's 40 degrees outside, but it seems like it's a little warmer than that. But we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Letty.
We got just 1 minute left, but give it a shot.
Okay, Hancock and Garrett, get your personal checks out and start paying the county. And that includes Brown, too. We need to get rid of those people. Yep. All they're doing is disgraceful.
We got to get rid of Brown or Kiki?
No. Kiki, no. He's doing a great job.
Okay.
Brown, Julia Brown and those two commissioners. And time is coming, you know, for Hancock. And I'm going to do my best to help Isabel Solis to get rid of that man.
Isabel Solis came on the show. She was magnificent. She promised that she said if Miss Brown took her car, that she'd fight back. I admire that.
I do the same thing. She's just a bully.
A bully in a jumpsuit, in a
yes.
pantsuit. All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So anyway, if somebody takes your car, call an attorney, call the sheriff. Don't let them take your car for a year. Anyway, 659, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450, KOBE. There should be a 364-day limit on borrowing somebody else's vehicle. They should not have to insure it for you. We'll be right back after a break in the hour. And we got Weird Wednesday. Give me just that heart, just one more. All right, so the last hour we went over the win by Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and the fact that Donald Trump is in a position where he could win. He's done very, very well these last couple of days. So the upshot there is that he's got the momentum, and I think that he needs to, quite frankly, he needs to do well in Indiana to have a straightforward shot. But he's only needs 285 delegates. So, I mean, that's good news for him. If you're a Cruz lover, like some are out there, if you believe that Cruz was called by the heavenlies to fly down to Earth and to run America, you might be a little bit disappointed right now because he's mathematically eliminated. But I guess there could be a miracle and, you know, a split convention and then he could come out on top. Now, it would be helpful if people like Ted Cruz. You know, it would be kind of a boost, especially, you know, in the Democratic system, being popular is helpful. But and he does, you know, if you look at the guy, anybody know who Pee Wee Herman is? Famous, weird television, kids television star. He's got the same exact smile as Pee Wee Herman. It's very strange. All right, I got a little weather for you here. And we did talk about Sheriff Kiki's department and a kangaroo court analysis that was done, according to him, independent in name only. And so they showed up and they did this analysis and said, you're not understaffed, you're overstaffed. Turn that frown upside down. And Sheriff Kiki was not taking any of that. And then Ben Rossin said, I'm doubtful of this, the independence of the study. It's for a mere $47,000. We got copy and paste. We got a copy and paste report. Now, you know, I think in school they call that, what do they call it, plagiarism? Anyway, I guess you can't plagiarize yourself, but how was he able to copy and paste a report from another police department? I don't know. Weiss is trying to put him in a vice. There's no doubt about that. All right, here's a little bit on your weather. Severe thunderstorms Wednesday from western Gulf Coast in the Mississippi. Incredible weather in the center of the country.
So Tuesday was definitely a big-time severe weather day. Here's some video from Evansville, Indiana, of some very strong wind gusts. And there was actually a report of a tornado pretty close to town, not far, just on the east side of town there, caused some damage. That was actually a confirmed tornado. Had a couple more confirmed tornadoes, but not any long-track violent tornadoes. What we did have was a lot of hail, a lot of reports of damaging wind, big storms, and a lot of lightning, a nasty one in particular that went through Oklahoma City with a reported wind gust over 90 miles an hour. Here's the deal. As we go through the rest of the evening, the tornado threat is definitely not as high as it was during the afternoon. Okay, it's still not zero, but when you see the storms have congealed into a line like this, that generally takes the tornado threat down. Now, a couple things I want to point out here. Kansas City to St. Louis, you guys just dealt with a nasty windstorm that went right across the entire state Tuesday morning into early afternoon on Tuesday. We're going to do it all over again overnight, so be ready for that in the early morning hours. You know, Dallas is another spot that got hit very late on Tuesday night into the early morning hours on Wednesday, but this whole line of storms has the capability of producing wind gusts over 70 miles an hour along with some hail as well.
All right, that's about half of it, but I got a phone call to see if the person stayed on the line. This is Kelly. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. This is Jim. How you doing today?
Jim, hey, it's been a while. How you been? Hope you're well. What's going on?
Good. Well, hey, you know, I'm hearing Kiki this morning, and, you know, we're starting to see yard signs going all over the area for different commissioners now.
Yeah.
And I was kind of wondering, Kelly, when do you think we could start hearing some of these people on your show?
Well, haven't we had some commissioners come on? Have I missed something? Didn't we?
Catch your shows in the morning a lot sometimes.
Well, I mean, I think it's a two-way street. I'm going to bring them on, but you've got to make a commitment.
Okay, because we've been approached to have someone put a sign in their yard, and I just wanted to make – I think I know his position, but I'm not sure.
To bring these people on, I need your commitment that you're going to listen.
Yeah, as best I can, Kelly. Sometimes schedules, work schedules and all, doesn't let me always be on the on
priorities. The Jim, priorities. Come on now. There's nothing more important than my show. But in any event,
I know that.
So who was the person that wanted to put a yard sign up?
It was Mr. Hakes, and I just wanted to know, kind of like to know his position on the budgeting, because he is a banker, and
yep.
I know him pretty well. I trust the guy, and I'm thinking about doing it. And I just wanted to kind of get his public opinions out there in the sense of what he thinks about the sheriff's department budgeting, if he agrees with it or not, and all these lawsuits, and just kind of go from there.
Well, I mean, you can get, I'm sure you can gather that he's opposed to the lawsuits. He came on the show. He's a nice guy. I had lunch with him. He's comes out of a prominent family in town of builders. Now,
right.
He's running against Craig, and so that's that's going to be a tight race, I think. And Craig is well known in the town. I mean, he's sheriff and everything. He ran for sheriff and came very close to mm-hmm. beating Kiki and Craig Buckingham. You know, I mean, if he had maybe a little bit more funding, more signs, whatever, it could have been even closer. But so I don't know. I mean, it would depend on what you're looking for. I think that Kim Hakes is a little bit more under the radar than Craig. I think he's more of an inside player. That's just my impression.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. Well, they're both seem like very decent guys, and wouldn't have a problem with either one. My boy was a Buckingham fan before, especially, you know, when he ran for sheriff.
Yeah.
And kind of liked the way he approached. I did hear him on your show, but I guess somehow I must have missed him. Either I was, you know, out of the area or not able to get to the radio. So
well, the show's on Blog Talk Radio. You can always, and this is for the listeners in general, you can always listen live through the internet, or you can go back and get a copy of it. So go to Blog Talk Radio, Kelly O'Connell. It'll come up, and then just look for the most recent day or the day that the interview happened on. So,
hey, sounds good.
All right, Jim, anything else?
No, Kelly, I'm going to echo what Kiki did say. You do a service here that is absolutely beyond. I mean, I've never been in a community where a local talk show gives people an opportunity to do this, and I want to thank you for doing that.
Well, I'm sure my reward will be in heaven, Jim.
I hope so.
But no, seriously, I'm just saying that tongue in cheek. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You're embarrassing me, but
you're welcome.
Really appreciate it. And thanks
That's
for the
okay.
good. Always a good call,
bye-bye.
Jim. Okay, bye bye. All right, folks. I have to wipe the tears of joy off my face here. But here's a little more weather for you. Severe thunderstorms, flash flooding possible later this week.
That's the severe weather from last night. Norman, Oklahoma, some dangerous cloud-to-ground lightning. Look at all that hail. Now, behind this system, we have a brand-new one that is coming into the plains by later this week. So we're talking Thursday night into Saturday. Not only severe thunderstorms, but a renewed threat of flash flooding. So Thursday night, the storms will get going around Texas up through Oklahoma City. More of the same for Friday. Damaging winds will be on tap with this, along with large hail, just like we saw on Tuesday. Saturday is more of the same, but also a lot of rain with this system. So we could see some isolated amounts of 5 to 8 inches, and that could certainly prompt flash flooding.
Yeah, so it's wow. I mean, it's just I've never seen a place that would – I mean, having lived in Oregon and in Ireland, I've been in places where there's been a lot of rain, but I have never seen a place that regularly gets 3 to 5 inches like Dallas. On up Houston. I mean, it's just incredible. So, and it's across the state by Thursday night, across the entire state of Texas, not all the way over to El Paso, but it is on the upper right-hand corner of New Mexico. And going into Friday, still storms on the top of New Mexico and then into Nebraska and Oklahoma and well across Texas from Abilene all the way over to almost over to Houston, severe thunderstorms, and then regular thunderstorms from Houston to Dallas, Woodward, San Antonio, San Angelo, Austin. I mean, the whole thing. So over and over again, you're getting these, storms. So, and I think I've got one more thing from Ari Salazar here.
Just
Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, just a few of the spots. You know, that was an event that was really well forecast, you know, several days in advance, 7 or 8 days in advance. And we've got another event coming up for this Tuesday. I'm not saying necessarily that it's going to be as bad as 2011 was, but one.
Well, they're talking about what's going on right now across the United States, but you know, you've got some. Just looking at the West Coast, you've got severe. It looks like severe thunderstorms all the up and down the West Coast. So, anyway, we'll take a break here. Another dedication, of course, the cars drive. Who's going to drive you home tonight? 716 AM, Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523, 1450. We're going to come back and jump in with both feet weird Wednesday. So I've got a little bit on earthquakes and catastrophes and just a touch into the Nazis. But I've also got weird stories for you, too. You're going to be thrilled. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who's gonna tell you when it's too late? Who's gonna tell you things aren't so
All right, there's an interesting story playing out right now in Alabama where the governor has been divorced by his wife because of some texts some recordings have come out that said something along the lines of, I love to see you from behind. I love when my hands are basically under your skirt or whatever it is. All right, so the governor ran on a platform of basically family values. You know, that's a Bible belt down there. So now the question is, should he be impeached? And they're trying to impeach him because he's had this affair, which might sound quaint, but and they're saying that the analysts are coming in and saying that it's hypocritical for Alabamians to want to throw their governor out of office on family values because, and it was an employee of his and she's now resigned. But they say because people from Alabama have more affairs and get divorced more often. So anyway, it's just something to Governor Robert Bentley. And he said, despite these naughty audio recordings, he's apparently never had an affair with her. That's his story. He's sticking to it. Drew Brees, the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, is criticizing Roger Goodell. He has too much power. And the head of the league's, George Atala, NFL Players Association has said, if we had a disciplinary setup, instead of just one person being the judge, jury, and executioner, Tom Brady wouldn't be hanging and, you know, twisting in the wind with his 4-game suspension coming into the next season. So, and the more I've thought about it, they never proved that Brady, it could have been explained by weather stuff. And I don't know. I just, the more time that goes by, the less fair that seems. All right. Now, getting into earthquakes. All right. So remember we were talking about the Ring of Fire and all of these earthquakes had gone off. Now, in the last 20, I was reading this last night, in the last 26 days, we've had major earthquakes 22 out of 26 days. That's a 6.0 or higher. These are major earthquakes. And the way that the earthquake scale goes is, and I'm trying to remember what it is. It's not what you think it is. The difference between a 6 and a 7 is 100 times stronger, I think. Each 0.1, 0.2, 0.3 is like 10 times more. It's something like that. Maybe it's not 100 times. Maybe it's just 10 times more. But when you get up in the 6 and 7s, 8s, I mean, that's incredible. So here's the thing that they pointed out on – I'll just read the start of this article, and the article is called, this is from sciencemag.org, which is a really nice site, how earthquakes might trigger faraway volcanoes. On April 14th, a magnitude 6.2 earthquake struck the Japanese island of Kyushu. 2 days later, Japanese officials reported towering plumes of smoke at Mount Aso, or Mount Aso, a volcano 42 kilometers away. And I had mentioned this to you, this kind of strange connection between the earthquakes and the volcanic eruptions. A small eruption was occurring. Could the distant earthquake have triggered it? Mount Aso has had far bigger eruptions over the past few years, well before the earthquake occurred, so it's probably just a coincidence. But a new study concludes that the idea of so-called far field triggering is not so far-fetched. And what they found out is that magma is a liquid, obviously, a very hot and at times a very sticky liquid. But that what happens is when you have an earthquake, it sloshes the earth, according to this article. And this was a 2009 study by volcanologist David Pyle and colleagues at the University of Oxford in the United Kingdom found that eruption rates of volcanoes in Chile significantly increased in the 12 months following any earthquakes. And so what they found is that the earth itself was sloshing, the magma was sloshing back and forth. And sloshing, the movement of a surface of liquid, is a well-studied issue in engineering, and so they know that how it acts in general. And they say it's no different under the earth when the magma is going back and forth, and it is causing pressure on the container that it's in. And so a volcanic eruption could be caused by an earthquake. So that was our speculation the other day. All right. Now, moving on. I was looking into, I've been doing some research on the occult orientation of the Nazis, which is very strange. And this, you may have heard this before, but they now have an exhibition in Germany about this search for the Holy Grail. But there was this guy, and the strange thing was the person who was directing it and paying for it was Heinrich Hank Himmler, and he was very much caught up in these ideas of this Aryan race and the Holy Grail being important to win a battle or a war. And we have a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, my name's Marty.
Hey, Marty, good morning to you. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to, first of all, I wanted to ask, have you ever been in an earthquake?
Little ones, nothing significant. How about yourself?
Yes, sir. I was in the San Fernando earthquake. I grew up in the Los Angeles area, and I was in more earthquakes. I was going to say that I can count, but that's an exaggeration. I've been in 10 or 11.
What year
and
was,
all different.
What year was the San Fernando?
I believe it was 1970. It could have been 71. I know I was in sixth grade.
All right, so you're a little kid now. What are your memories of it?
It almost knocked me out of bed, and my dad ran to the door jamb and said, "Earthquake, earthquake, get to a door jamb." And it was a jolt. So they're all different. It's like rain. There's different kinds of rain.
Yeah.
Some are low and rumbling, and you just shake for a while. And you go and you look at the built-in pools, and the pools are all the water, and I'm sloshing back and forth. Others, like the San Fernando, it was a jolt. That's why it knocked down overpasses and stuff. It was really interesting. growing up out there and being in the earthquakes. And after when you're a kid, you get used to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't even think twice about it.
Our relatives
wouldn't even come visit us from Iowa because they were so terrified of earthquakes.
Well, and obviously it was something that as a kid you probably just adapted to, right?
Yep, exactly. Just no big deal.
Now, when you hear about this area being so highly influenced in its history by volcanoes and volcanic activity, everything around us seems to have some sort of a volcanic origin. Does that make you nervous at all?
No, not at all. What does make me nervous is Yellowstone. With GPS technology, they've documented that Yellowstone's moving around up to 6 feet in certain places since 1990, up and down,
and
vertical movement.
Yeah, that is a supervolcano, and they found a magma chamber beneath the magma chamber near the surface that's feeding into it, and it's absolutely massive. And they say if that thing went off, it would blanket at least half the country in ash.
Yeah, I think our economy would be dust.
No pun intended. Yeah. So,
yeah.
All right. So what is your prediction for future eruptions?
Just was researching it yesterday in terms of Yellowstone. I'm not obsessed with it, but I do go and check on it every couple of weeks. It's moving around an awful lot. And the expert that in the article I saw, he's got a doctorate in geology and everything. He studies Yellowstone. He said it could happen tomorrow. He said it could happen in 100,000 years.
Yeah. Now, you've got...
so that's where the science is on that, huh?
Yeah, but Marty, you've got also Mount Rainier they've discovered a big magma chamber underneath that. Mount St. Helens still has a big magma chamber that's moving around under it. So there's a number of these volcanoes that you could say are part of the Ring of Fire if you want, because,
mm-hmm.
Yellowstone and everything. There's a lot of activity on the Ring of Fire right now.
And I remember when Mount St. Helens went off also. I actually got to look at seismographs at the University of California at Santa Cruz that morning when it went off. And that was quite a jolt.
Yeah. I mean, it was if people may not remember this massive slide that came from the eruption that just wiped everything out for hundreds of square miles, I think, around the volcano.
Yeah, and I think it reduced its summit by 1,400 feet.
Yeah, that's one way. Marty, anything else?
I just want to tell you, I like Cruz, and I'll tell you why real briefly, because
sure.
I know you got to go.
Sure.
I like Cruz because when he stood up and he filibustered on the 24-hour filibuster he did, I think it had something to do with keeping the government closed.
Yeah, the shutdown.
But he took on Mitch McConnell, and he took on John Boehner. And it was just so refreshing to see a dedicated, traditional conservative take on those guys.
That's why
I like him.
Well, I agree. And I'd be more comfortable if you called him Mitch McConnell instead of O'Connell. But,
sorry.
I was going to say, hopefully I don't remind you of Mitch McConnell, who looks like a human potato head doll, But I get you. Hey, look, there's a lot about Cruz that I like, but there's something about him that when people interact with him, they find it to be disappointing or irritating, aggravating, that people don't like him personally, which I find strange. And he's got a weird smile that I'm trying to think, who have I seen this smile on before? It's Pee Wee Herman. It's this weird.
Top three movies in my life.
Yeah.
Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure came out in 85.
Yeah. No, great movie.
Good movie, man.
Great movie.
So, I knew exactly when you said that. I knew exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Marty. Got to run, but thanks for the call and thanks for listening.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. I'm going to come back. I'm going to tell you about this story about this guy that was involved in hunting for Nazi artifacts. And his name is Ron. Last name was Ron. Otto Ron. And believe it or not, openly gay Nazi and Holy Grail hunter. Can you believe these Nazis were so full of contradictions? But who's going to drive you home tonight, baby? It could be the county manager. 7:33 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOB, 523, 1450. We'll be right back.
Nothing's wrong. What now? Who's gonna drive? have you home.
All right, we just heard by Marty, a quake survivor, I guess, but it must be interesting to grow up in a high quake zone, I would think, anyway, especially if you're a kid and you kind of got used to it, you know. All right, so here is... All right, let me just... I'm going to get into this story... all right, well, first let me get into the quakes first before I dip into this Nazi occultism, which is so bizarre but interesting. You know, the strange thing, and you'll notice this if you go and study anything about the Nazis, is that they were without a doubt spectacularly efficient at putting an army together. The Air Force, the Luftwaffe, the General Rommel was this great desert fox. He was a great general, and they had a lot of great leadership in the military, and they were famously efficient. Now, a lot of people didn't know that the soldiers were on meth, an equivalent of meth, the drug to keep them going out there, keep them marching longer. And they one of the people who was asked why the Blitzkrieg, when they were sending over these bombs and everything and bombing Britain, Britain was like the last holdout in Europe, if you can believe it. One of the reasons that Britain sees itself as differently history, different law. The world has been greatly influenced by the Anglo-American law that came out of there, the Bill of Rights, constitutionalism and everything. And they refused to give in to Hitler, mostly because of Winston Churchill. And so that started this long World War II phase that we got involved with, first through Lend-Lease, where we built stuff and sent it to Britain, and then we got involved in the war. For Britain, the entire world might be speaking German right now. Although Germany had a set idea of how much land it wanted to take over, it wanted to take over all of the ancestral Germanic areas. And they had these doctrines, and some of them were, to get back to the point, some of them were occult-derived, Arianism, et cetera. But anyway, catastrophic mega-quake fears rise as one huge tremor a day hits world so far this month. And this is from the Express, UK Express. Experts have recorded an average of one magnitude. I was telling you about this earlier. One magnitude 6 or above earthquake a day this month, leading to increased fears a global catastrophe is on its way. Ecuador has been rocked by a series of earthquakes just days after a huge tremor claimed nearly 600 lives. South American country experienced 16 offshore tremors of magnitude 4 or above today alone, including one that reached 6 on the Richter scale. All right, so last week, the Express revealed there was fears among scientists that a so-called Big One earthquake could be due in the Pacific Ring of Fire or South Asia, including Nepal, where a 7.8 magnitude a year ago. And so they're expecting it any day, but at the same time, as Marty called in and said, you never know when they're coming. That's the exciting and the alarming thing about it. From April 1st to today, there have been 22 6 or above magnitude quakes, and 13 of these have struck in the last 12 days. And this article was from the April 22nd, so about 5 days ago. And so anyway, so they're thinking that, you know, the more time that goes on, the more likely, if this type of activity continues, that we're going to get a major earthquake somewhere, which could be tied into eruptions. All right, switching gears here. We had talked before about this very weird, that's what I was saying about the Nazis. They're full of bizarre people, and also nutcases and drug addicts. And so I just got a book yesterday in the mail on Goring, who was the right-hand man. He was the Hitler's right-hand man, who was at one point supposed to become the next Führer. You know, Hitler was only in his young 40s when he was elected, and he had a lot of health problems. One of the health problems he had was excess gas for some reason. So anyway, Heinrich Himmler was the person who was the most obsessed with finding these Nazi these artifacts out of European history that would give them a bulletproof or make them unbeatable in battle. And so they wanted to find the Holy Grail. Now, the interesting thing is there was a guy who was from the very young age, Otto Rahn, and he was a notoriously open gay man who was spent basically his whole life searching for the Holy Grail. And when Heinrich Himmler found out about this guy, who had published a book on this, he then called him up and wrote him a letter, whatever, and said, "Would you like to come and work for the Nazis?" And it's like the mafia offer. You can't say no. So he ended up spending years looking for the Holy Grail. And the Holy Grail is the cup that was used at the Last Supper, and supposedly the cup that also caught the blood from Christ. So it was infused with extraordinary symbolism and powers. And there was an actual law of the Holy Grail, and I was looking for that last night. I maybe spent 5 minutes looking for it, but there was a law associated with the person who owned the Holy Grail, and the Holy Grail would give protection. And fascinating enough, for a group of people who were doing what they could to wipe out Christianity and Judaism, obviously wiping out Judaism. They're trying to kill all the Jews, but also trying to get rid of anybody who followed the Bible. They felt like they could build an entire society on the Holy Grail. Isn't that weird? 7:44, we'll take a little break and come back and talk about Otto Rahn, the gay Nazi. We'll be right back. AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in at 7:45 on the button.
Who's gonna pick you up when you fall? Who's gonna hang it up when you fall?
All right, so we've got this character, and his name is Otto Rahn, and here's what this this article is from modernnotion.com, and but there's information about this guy everywhere, including his own books. The real-life inspiration behind Indiana Jones, the popular whip-cracking archaeologist played by Harrison Ford, in the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, was an openly gay member of Hitler's SS named Otto Rahn, who spent his entire life trying to find the Holy Grail, which they also called the Sangreal, a mythical cup used to collect Jesus's blood during his crucifixion and used during the Last Supper. Born in Germany in 1904, his mother, he must have been a mama's boy, his mother infused him with a love of romantic literature, especially the Knights of the Round Table, King Arthur. He also got into Catharism. Now, what is Catharism? One of the groups involved in the Crusades were the Cathars, a Christian dualistic or Gnostic revival movement that came out of Southern Europe and especially France. And they were Manichaean. The Manichaeans believed in a god of dark and a god of light. And so they were kind of, I mean, you should see them as a cult, a Christian cult. And not really at all Christian, but with all the Christian trappings. All right, so this guy gets kind of infatuated with the Cathars, and he wants to find the Holy Grail. So after he was educated, and there's an epic 13th century poem called Parsifal that you may have heard of it before. He used things like that to help guide him to find this Holy Grail. Now, about the Grail, and this is from a website called traditioninaction.com. What the Grail represented to the Nazis. And Jean-Michel Engelbert, who wrote Hitler and the Cathar Tradition, says this about the Grail. For the adherence to the great tradition of unity, that is the fundamental and transcendent unity of all religions, legends, and various mythologies, they believe that the Christians appropriated the Grail myth and turned it into an emerald goblet containing the blood of Christ, and therefore it's separated from its original meaning. The loss of the Grail was associated with the loss of the tradition of unity with all its spiritual consequences, and the original myth of the Grail is related to a lost teaching, and this was the interpretations adopted by the National Socialists, Now, don't forget, National Socialism is Nazi. That's that the Nazi party was the party of the National Socialists. And they thought the Grail Stone was a law of life valid only for certain pure races. So they were going to go and find this Holy Grail, and then they were going to use it to rebuild German society on this idea that Jesus was actually an Aryan. He was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy, and he was descended out of what they believed, for whatever reason, they came to this conclusion that he came out of the Himalayas, where Mount Everest is and everything. And that's where the pure stock came. And so Himmler had sent a group of people up into the Himalayas to find the origin, the root stock of the Aryans, so that they could rebuild the society. So let's take one last break, and I'll get into this a little bit more, but pretty fascinating stuff. 752 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB, 523-1450.
Who's gonna pay attention to your dream? Who's gonna block your ears when you scream?
Okay, so just getting into this, because we're running out of time, obviously, but just kind of scratching the surface, you've got the Nazis searching all over for Europe for the Holy Grail. They're doing it through this guy, Otto Rahn. He sets out on this expedition, and he goes into Albigensia, and he finds a Cathar castle. He doesn't find the Holy Grail there, but he goes and looks around, and underneath it, he finds this vast series of underground passages. And he feels like these passages were built to help hide the Holy Grail. So he was excited, and he wrote this book. He detailed this. He wrote a book called The Crusade Against the Grail, which Heinrich Himmler read, and then he hired him. And Himmler was the same guy that killed all the Jews, or took part in that. Himmler wanted a sequel to this, and so Ron goes out and he can't find it, but he searches all over Europe. He's never able to find the Grail, but he writes a second book, Lucifer's Court, A Heretic's Journey in Search of the Light Bringers. And so then after this, Ron's life kind of spins out of control, and basically he's a very open homosexual, and he has a drunken encounter that doesn't go well, some sort of gay encounter, and the Nazis are alarmed and upset at him, so they send him to work at Dachau prison camp for 3 months, and Ron is not really a Nazi at heart, and he's hanging around anti-Nazi groups, and he finally writes a letter to Himmler and says, I want to drop out. Out of a group that's like the mafia, you don't drop out of the Nazis. So they went, they believe he was killed by the Nazis. So they found him up on a mountain, frozen, but you know, all right. So he founded a Catharist circle within the SS. And so they built this underground place to house the Grail when they found it, under a large meeting hall of a castle of Wellwellsburg near Paderborn in Westphalia. He built a holy of holies, a crypt made of arches having at its center a black marble altar marked with the large letters SS in silver, designed in the runic alphabet. So the Nazis were always trying to create a cult to support their vision of society, and it was pagan, and it had elements of Christianity stolen from it, but it was basically a return to the Nordic pagan beliefs. And here's just a quote from this article. The meditations of the guests of Wewelsburg were on biological mysticism, the morals of honor, the spiritual myth of blood, and other Gnostic and dualistic subjects. And on this, in this large room of around 500 square meters above the crypt where the altar of the new religion was constructed, they were to meet. And so anyway, they thought if they got the Sangreal or the Holy Grail, that they would be undefeatable. And not only that, use the Holy Grail as a foundation, this cup made out of a jewel, to rebuild society, a society of honor in pagan religion. So anyway, thanks for listening in. Enjoyed spending time with you. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB. Kelly O'Connell. We'll meet back in 22 hours. I'll have Ben Rossin as a guest. Have a great day. Ciao.
You can't go wrong thinking nothing's wrong. We're gonna drive it home
tonight. Hold on 1 second.
Hello.
This is Kelly. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, this is David, the Ear Candle Guy.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Okay, I sent a picture to you the day after I talked to you a couple weeks ago.
All right.
Quetzalcoatl. Did you look at it?
No.
Can you send it again?
David, can you forward it back to me?
Yes.
All right, I got to run. You just forward it to me. I'll get back to you.
You're a busy man, and appreciate your service.
Thanks, man.